for 35 years. Amen. Hallelujah. She's been married for 32 years. Oh, praise the Lord. How many know that's a long, amen, commitment. Marriage is commitment. Hallelujah. She also has three girls and no boys, but she has one grandson, two granddaughters. Amen. How many know who I'm talking about? Do you guys know? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And she has one on the way. Another grandson or granddaughter. We don't know yet. Amen's coming. And you know that she loves Chinese food? Amen. And she's my friend. Amen. I have a privilege for her to be my friend. Sister Maria. Amen. Let's welcome her right now. Praise the Lord. And she's the senior pastor's wife from Deming. Hallelujah. Come on, let's welcome her this morning.
Oh, praise the Lord. This is powerful. It's powerful. And I'm not going to take too long because, you know, we have a timeline. I just praise the Lord. And I really, I just give the sister, I was talking in the green room, empty spot, two empty spots in here right now is missing. It feels, you know, the absence of Sister Barbara and Sister Michelle. And I really praise the Lord for those leaders. Once we came to this region, it was like through the years that we were serving the Lord, it was just like when we came to this region, like a mold us, me and my husband, because your leaders, our leaders, they're such a powerful leaders that really stretch us and challenge us. And I really praise the Lord for this time that I really don't take lightly. And I'm not going to say too much about my testimony. When I came to this ministry, very short, I didn't have no testimony. Because I was not a drug addict. I was not an alcoholic. I was like, I can say one of those good or not good, but I know that I need the Lord. And I cannot say, but one or can say my great testimony is that I've been standing. I've been standing in the Lord for those all 35 years. And that's, I can say this is my great testimony, not backslide, standing, and for a cause, standing for a cause that I know through my years walking to the Lord, that cause starts getting more stronger. And that's what I'm still here. And I praise the Lord for that. And again, I don't take lightly being in here. I thank the Lord. Sister Barbara gave this. And when she told me that, I said, oh, my goodness. So I said, okay, yeah, you need to be obedient, not to say no. I don't take lightly to be here behind this pulpit. I really take a little. It's a very privilege to be here because I know that when the Lord speak to me. And that's something that I said, Lord, so we can bow down. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this time, my Lord. I pray, my Lord, that your woman, my Lord, that will receive, my Lord, that will have an open ear, my Lord, spiritual ears to hear, Father God, not only the word, but direction, my Lord, direction that we need, my Lord. We never, my Lord, is enough to receive direction, my Lord, instructions from you through your word, Father God. Oh, I place myself in your hands, Father God, that those words will be your words that speak through me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, my Lord, and still you're going to do in our lives, Father God, and every single soul who's here, Father God. Thank you. Amen and amen. Well, we know the topic through the whole year, the cause, and it's been for many years. Not only this year, but I've been hearing this for as long as we've been in this ministry, me and my husband. And I believe that's the reason we'll still hear ourselves. And in our city, we have the topic purpose. And we know that purpose and cause is together, or vice versa. If there's no cause, there's, sometimes my words cannot pronounce it the right way. But that's I feel that way, you know, that there's always, if there's no passion, we're not going to pursue ourselves anything. And there's, we don't pretend to try to pursue something, the passion is not going to come. So all comes together. I went and always like to look to the Webster Dictionary, the meaning of a cuss. And one of them says, a person or thing that brings about some action or results. We did that yesterday. Our leaders, our founders, they did that. They've been doing that for 50 years. And we celebrate 50 years. And that's a result. Us to be here, isn't it? That's a result. So that member, a person, an action. We did that yesterday, and I praise the Lord, so we'll continue. And the other one, the number two was, a reason for some action, feeling, an emotion, and expression. I'm sorry, hold on. I'm just going to time out myself. It was already 5 minutes? Okay, so 3 minutes. The number two was a reason of someone's action, feeling, emotional expression. That was, I experienced that yesterday with all the women that we reach. And we express ourselves through the woman, and they vice versa themselves, they express their feeling, crying. And then what we gave them? We give them bags. We give something for them to feel special. And that's part of that we express our love, all the love of God through them. The other one example that they put, it says in the Webster Dictionary, which is, says John, but I'm going to put my name. Samaria has given me no cause to admire her. I pray that we're not like that. I pray that we, as a woman of God, what Sister Raina said, that we cause every, especially the young ones and the new ones, that we cause to those women to admire, not for exalt ourselves, but admire what we have in our lives. Christ, worship him, and Sister Raina says, the way we dress, the way we present ourselves, not only to the Lord, but to the church. And that's something that I praise the Lord for this ministry, because that's one of the best values that I learned when I came to this ministry, and I took it very, very, very strong and very seriously, that not to ignore it, the way we dress, or because nowadays, you know, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to go too far and take too long what the world is teaching us or what the world is showing us for us to dress up the way we dress outside. And some scripture says, because of the lack of time, it says, we're in the world, but not of the world. Exactly. So in my case, I praise the Lord because I learned the values where I came from. I'm from Mexico, and that's one thing that I share with some sisters, because sometimes they say, you know, you wear skirts all the time. You wear a dress. Well, I grew up with wearing dresses all the time, dress. I didn't start wearing, pants until when I was 17, 18. So I grew up with dress. So in my case, I had no problem. But not only wearing dresses, how we wear those dresses, sisters. Not too tight, not too short. So that's part of it. And I'm sorry, I might be a little old style, but I praise for that because I reflect. I reflect and I said, my goodness, where is the world going? And I hope no one get in trouble, but our example, and especially within, I know there's men around, but are we going to be stumbling to some men because of that issue? Because of that? No, So that's why I took it very hard within myself, you know, not to be. So if it's going to be, I said, I am not. Oh, maybe a stumbling block to another sister, another new girl, a teenagers. Oh, and especially, let me tell you, if you're a teacher, oh, my goodness, that's, if you were dressing like that, they're going to grow up and they're going to say, oh, that's all right. I can dress up like that. No, no, no. That's something that the more I cover, the better. I praise the Lord. Sometimes I think, you know what? We should go back the way in the old days. We don't have to be a monk. I talked to my daughter the other day. So, oh, Mom, we don't have to wear like a, I'm not going to be like dressed like a monk. I said, no, it's they're dress up modest. That's something. And there's so much fashion that we can dress up modest. So I just throw that very fast. The other one is in the third one was an activity or interest that a number of people work for and support. That the same thing. We did that yesterday. And the other one is the word they work for. We're United Women in Ministry. We're United Women in Ministry that we put our hands and we work for our ministry. We work for this church. And the same thing, our founders, they did the same thing. A movement. We're a very great movement that you know that. We're a great movement. The other one says that where they have formed a group to work in the cause of peace. Those movements that they're making right now outside in the world, like just to protest and everything, we're not doing that. We're protesting and we're taking that work of the enemy by force. That's what we did yesterday. And I pray, you know, for thank the Lord for our founders that they prompt the Spirit to do those events, to reach, to go. And again, we're a group to be the cause of. And that's the number three. I have a scripture. Don't worry, I have a scripture. I'm going then. Let's, if you turn your Bibles to Ruth 1:16, and more, some of you probably might be familiar with Ruth. It's one of my books, my favorite books when I came to the Lord. When I read the story, it really, it's like I went and lived in there because I said, I want to be like that. I want to do what it says. Naomi was the cause of Ruth to follow her, to serve her, but she not only followed her, she listened to her. So let's read. Let's go to Ruth 1:16. And 16 says, but Ruth replied, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you might stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And where I will be buried, may the Lord deal with, I'm sorry. Where you die, I will die, and there will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. Be it every so barely, if anything but dead, separate us from me, from you and me. She made a commitment. She made a commitment to her. She made a commitment to the Lord. When we made a commitment to our husband, when we married, that's a commitment, a strong commitment, not a weak commitment. She said, okay, you people will be my people. That's what we're doing here. When you do, when you come to the ministry, you make a statement. We need to make a statement, no matter what. No matter what, it's make a statement. You know what? You people will be my people, and I will serve the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul. So that's the statement that she made, not only to Ruth, but
to serve her.
And probably some of you know the story, how she served her, how she followed her, how she obeyed her, everything that she did. And that's the beginning. That's where the lineage that Christ came. It shouldn't be for her obedience. It wouldn't be for her to be a statement and say, whatever you die, I'm going to die. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be here ourselves either. Not even Christ will be born. So everything, there's a purpose. Everything we do, a statement, whatever you can say right now, your God will be my God. You people will be my people. United woman in ministry. And I'm going to go with Esther. That's another example. When she came, and the king, and she came before, they prepared her. When I read the story, she went, and they prepared her for so many, in so many ways. And she could have said no to her the same way to her uncle. But the same way, she was obedient. She obeyed to the direction of her uncle, regardless. And because of that obedient spirit that she said, and she didn't know what was going to happen until she became a queen. Until she became a queen, then that was everything that starts building up. Then she stayed, she's too strong. And that was a cause for her to save the Jews. And you know the story. We all have a purpose. And there's a cause right now that we need to have the strength and continue with the power and above all, the obedience. The value of the cause is a leader. We cannot be like the world, as I said. But we still have to live in the world. Don't let the devil use the circumstances or situations to be the cause of your fall or to be fall away. It happens through my years being in this ministry. I've been seeing in and out. Don't. Stay strong. We have a cause. We have a purpose. You all. Everything has a purpose, as I was reflecting. Everything. The chair has a purpose. The table has a purpose. My glasses have a purpose. Without the glasses, I cannot see. Oh, I cannot read. The only thing I cannot read. There's always, everything is a purpose. And above all, the cause that we have. And because of that, we're still here. And because of that, we're still talking. And because of that, we went yesterday. And that's going to continue on and on. Oh, I pray that we'll be continue for 50 years. If it's not stronger, not weak, it's stronger. And not allow the enemy completely say, okay, devoured again, you know, in any different circumstances, situations. Let's stand and strong. Say that to the enemy. Say that to the enemy. Stand and make a statement like Ruth did. Like Ruth did to Naomi, which is, we have to do it to the Lord. Say, stand. Make a statement. So no matter what, no matter whatever, even if, and we talked the topic about dress code. Don't let that stop that being used. If the Lord is still using you, if they haven't correct that area, well, if you hear it today, do not ignore it. We have. We're examples. That's something that I learned when I came to this ministry through our leaders, that example through this pulpit with the speakers, I always check on them. I will see how they express themselves. I will see how they dress. And that's why I said, you know, it was not too difficult. I don't want to be like an old lady because I'm almost 60. I'm not embarrassed to say my age. But I see so much. I see so much. And the more that we live, we see more. But again, we're here. We're here. We're the example. We're the example in many ways. We're the models. Above all, we're the models. How we pray, with the models here, how we pray, true or not. With the models, how, like Sister Raina said, how we, our body language. I learned that too, and I praise the Lord for this ministry because they really, through those years, it's been molding me, even up to this age. I'm still learning my language because as I get older, even with my kids, there's always a spot to learn. There's always something to be open. Be open through the Word of God. If we read the Word of God and we're not doing something, then we can be like either in denial or we not being obedient. We're not obedient in different ways. I can say in tithing. I can say, I mean, as long as you read the Word, you'll learn. I have read the Word, so that's why I can say I'm standing here. I'm standing. And I pray all, every single day to continue the legacy that God has placed us, legacy that is within yourself, within your kids, your daughters, your son, your grandkids. I mean, only God knows. As I shared while back in the pandemic with the girls, let's not focus on the world. Let's focus on what we can do and what we're doing in our ministry. This is our ministry. So that's something that I really I want to say to mention it. And I think it's not going to be half an hour. It's a little shorter, I guess. I don't know, but I pray that young and old, or middle, never too old or never too young to have the passion for the Lord, has the passion for God, to fall in love with the Lord. And that passion and that love, that's what it keeps us strong. Serving Him, that's what it keeps us alive. That experience, that's what I experienced myself through all those years being in this ministry. And I can tell you that if I wouldn't be, I can say that with pride, that if it wouldn't be that example that we show to our daughters, they would not be here where they are. And that's why it was a big sacrifice. It was not we're going to relax in my husband. No, because they can tell you there's a reason they're there. And I'm pretty sure you can see it. The fruit of to die to ourselves, to die of that we're not of this world, even though we live it, but to deny our flesh. And that's something that I really praise the Lord. And it gives me a joy that one is married, the second is getting married, and I proclaim the next year will be the third one. Even though it's one through a year, but that's okay. I know as a mother, that's the best joy, seeing your kids marry and settle in their lives in two ways, not a settle in the personal life, but at the same way in the spiritual. You have no idea how joyful I am and blessed to see my daughters serving the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it all the way. And I pray that the Lord will continue giving us the strength to continue forward and see the next generation that will be passionate, that will be serving with the same as the model. We have a model of leaders with the same passion to continue forward for the next 50 years. This one pastor said, you know, I believe Pastor Charlie said, or somebody, he says, the 50 years already passed. The 50 years start from the beginning. When was the anniversary? Those are the beginnings of the 50 years. It's up to us how the legacy is going to continue with the same passion and with the same cause that we're going to take the baton. We're going to pass it around. That's how I see it. Pass it with passion continually. Again, it's up to us how we're going to transmit that with a passion, with a love, and again, let me see that, value, the values. The values is very important. Don't lose those values. Young girls, don't lose those values that your parents are telling you. Don't lose those values. That the values, that's what it keep us continue and going to make you do well for the rest of your life. I praise the Lord for that, even though my mother was not a Christian, but there's some values that I keep it for a long time up to this point. Okay, I didn't have received too much direction, but values or something. And I praise the Lord for the Word of God and for our leaders that really show us those values, not to lose them, not to lose those values. It's in spiritual and has in our personal lives. So that's something that I really thank the Lord for that. And with all that, thank you and God bless you. I love you all. Everyone, even though we don't know you, but thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. She said it very loud and very clearly to be women, that we make a statement and that we stand out. And we're used to being women that stand out in other ways, you know, because we know how to stand out. But we need to be women that stand out for the Lord. That when other women see us at your workplace, maybe, in your home, as mothers, as daughters, as friends, that, man, there's something different. She stands out. She stands out, and she stands out for Christ. She's not ashamed. She's not ashamed to spread the gospel. She's not ashamed to be different. You know, she's not ashamed to stand up and say what she believes in the Lord. And we need those kind of women. Those kind of women are passionate. And then we need to look for women like that. Because we want to grow daily. And so, hey, I want to latch on to a woman that stands out. Want to latch out, you know, latch on to a woman that she makes a statement. Because then if you're a little timid, if you feel a little weak, then that woman is going to strengthen you. So that you can be a woman like that. You know, a powerful woman. Because that's what God's called us to be. Powerful women. So we need those women and that hang on to the values. Hang on to the values. Don't let somebody come and try to deter your values. Or try to lessen what you believe. Or try to make you feel like, no, that's not right. No, I know my word. She talked about the word and she goes, I know my word. And this is what my word says. So I'm not going to be a compromising woman. I'm going to be a woman of virtue. I'm going to be a woman of power. And I'm going to be a woman who stands out. That's the kind of women God wants us to be. Amen. And now we've come to our second speaker. And I know that she has a word for us too this morning. And our second speaker, she's a senior pastor's wife there in Las Cruces. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it's like we're pastor's wives, and I'll include myself, of churches that have gone through things. And when you have a church that has gone through things even before you came, because this is like, I think, my fourth church that I've taken over, and it's gone through things. And so, boy, you know, and so I know that Las Cruces has gone through things. But God loves Las Cruces. He chose somebody to come in there and to establish 19 years, married for, and we see it. We get up
and we say, hey, I want to answer the call. And she answered the call. It came knocking at her door. And I don't think she hesitated. I don't think she thought twice about it. Why? Because she wanted to make a statement. She wanted to stand out. She knew that there was more for her life than just being there. And I'm sure she loved her local church because we all love our local church. But when we know the calling of God upon our lives, there's nothing that we could say but yes to the Lord. And that's what she's done. She said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you have called me to do. Though it may not be easy, I'll do it. Though I'll have some hardships, I'll do it. Because you go before me and you make a way and you're with me. And I believe that's what she's been doing these 2 years, standing on God's promises and believing that there is going to be a mighty breakthrough there in the city of Las Cruces. Why don't we welcome Sister Gemma? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, ladies. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah for faithful servants.
God bless you this morning. Amen. Now, I know we had a late night last night, so let's shake it off. Shake it off. And I made sure I checked my skirt before I came up because there's a lot of modesty going around here. So I was like, oh, I better check myself. Amen. I just want to start off with a little, and I know you've heard our testimony, and I'm not gonna labor it, but I want to let you know that when the window opens, you need to be ready to jump. You have to be ready to go, because when God calls, that window is open for only a small amount of time, and if you don't take it, some other woman is going to be in your church. Some other woman is going to be serving your pastor's wife. Some other woman is going to be marrying the man of God that God saved for you. So you need, when that window opens, you need to jump through it. Amen. And that's just what we did. And the window opens. Our pastor sat with us. We went to our pastor's house to say, what else? Because we had hit capacity where we were at our church. We had done children's ministry. My husband was a pastor. We were overseeing every single ministry in the church at Victory Outreach Denver. We had been there for 17 years. Our kids grew up in church. Our kids grew up in the car because we lived an hour away from church each way. So our kids were raised. They ate in the car. They did their homework in the car. They slept in the car. They lived in our car. We had meetings. We had leader meetings, and they would be watching TV in the car. You know, they would sit in the back of the sanctuary looking at me saying, shh, shh, you know, because we were there. Everything, every opportunity that we got to grow, we were there. And we knew that God had placed us under a great ministry, and he placed us under great pastors, and we are birthed from, Jesus saved us, like they say, and Victory Outreach raised us. Well, the parents that raised us was Pastor Tom and Sister Dodie, and we were under great leadership, and then they passed us on to some more great leadership, and we're just blessed to be here. I am blessed to be surrounded by great women of God, women that are experienced and women that have wisdom. And I watch, I might not see you all the time, but when we're watching, Facebook allows us to have an inside to your church and to what you're doing. And we are there, and we're coming right alongside of you, right behind you, whatever we have to do. Amen. I'd like to thank Sister Barbara and Pastor Danny for the opportunity to speak, and of course, God, for my salvation. Amen. My husband, I love him, and my kids sacrifice a lot, and I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful that they love God. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I am going to talk about a different type of fire. Now, you've seen in our skit, that's a, that, that's, you know, the fiery furnace. You don't want to go there. And I'm going to talk about a different fire. But don't be deceived, because there are two types of fire. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to speak about a consuming fire. And I know that our theme for this year is passion for the cause. And how do you have passion for the cause? I want to, something that I've learned and something to keep you going, and I'm going to share that with you. And in God's word, there's many uses of fire. They use it, you know, back in biblical times, they use fire for cooking. They use it as a form of heat to stay warm. They did metal work by fire. They also used it to destroy the enemy. They would go in and they would burn the enemy's camp. So they would use it as a defense. They also would burn incense, and they would take their burnt offering as a sacrifice to God. But most importantly, what I love about fire is fire represents a power and a presence. Amen. And it represents God's power and God's presence. So before I get into this detail, if you would please bow your heads with me so we can pray. Father God, we come before you and we praise you, God. And God, I just pray right now that you would just begin to use me, God. That you would set myself aside, God. That you would impart in me what you want your women to hear, God. God, I pray right now that their ears and their minds would be open, God. But most of all, their hearts, God. God, teach us. Allow us to do what you have called us to do, God. Give us purpose. Give us purpose and a passion to catch your fire, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Exodus, and you don't have to turn. I'm just going to give some examples. You could write them down and look them up later for time's sake. But in Exodus 3, 1 through 4, he appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And I'm talking about God's presence and God's power. Amen. In Exodus 13, 21, 22, he provided pillars of fire out in the desert for the Israelites as they were in the desert so that they can see. Then in Exodus 18, 18, when he presented himself with fire at Mount Sinai, 2 Kings 2:11, he had chariots of fire as Elijah was going to heaven. Acts 2:3, he to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, he showed them. And these are examples of God's power and presence through fire. Amen. Now in Hebrews 12:28, it shows us that this is where they talk about God being a all-consuming fire. If you would please turn with me to Hebrews 12:28, and we're going to read 12:28. Through 29. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. And this, what I just read, is it's the New Living Translation. It says a devouring fire. But most translations will say a consuming fire. So when you hear fire is a very scary thing. It's a very powerful thing. And right now, I'm gonna start talking about fire, but I'm gonna give you a disclosure, because I am not a firefighter. I am not a fireman, and I'm giving you a disclosure because I know Pastor Danny was a fireman. So I'm just going to say, if I'm a little off, I'm a little wrong, I am not a firefighter. And I was hoping he'd be here this morning so I can get some clarification. But this is what I know as far as my education on fires. Amen. And I don't play a firefighter on TV. So So my message, if you are titling this message, I want you to call it that this girl is on fire. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and look at her and say, this girl is on fire. Amen. Amen. So fire is one of the most powerful agents in the world. So it supplies heat, which is a source of life and existence in all nature. It destroys substance and it resolves them into their original element. And when they say original element, when you think about that, if a piece of paper lights, if these were to light on fire, they would just be ash, right? They would be ash, but that's their existence. Like it's paper, you know, it came in the process, it's going to return back to ash. But in the fire and in the process, when gold and silver is refined through fire, it is purified. It is purified of all its corruptions, and it removes all impurities. However, it can never be destroyed. Their substance always has value. And I look at the women of God as, you know, we are gold and silver. And God purifies us, and God removes the corruptions and all the impurities. But in the end, our substance and our value never, ever is destroyed. Amen? Some of us have gone through some fire, some crazy fire. But in the end, as you get burned, in the end, you are going to come out with value and substance. Amen? Now Jesus, I'm a little lost. All the power is similar to God, like all of this power and fire is similar to God's fire. It's power and influence in our lives. It consumes us in his presence and power, leaving a fire that burns within us. Now, it's so similar that when they burn the gold, they leave it and it has value. Well, when God is consumed in our hearts, as we begin to burn for God and do the things of God, it works the same way. He takes out our impurities and anything that we were before we came to Christ. Amen. Now, last night, we all were out on the streets, and I don't know, we hit the first block we hit, we saw a couple of women, which we thought they were women. We saw a couple of women coming. One was a woman and one was a male, but he was a woman. He was dressed like a woman. And we began to pray and just looking at the sisters and like the fire that God has placed in them, with no fear to go out there and just, and this Matt, well, this woman, man, and she, sorry, I don't want to say, there you go. I didn't want to say that, but, so immediately she's like, don't let them, they're going to brainwash you. They're going to brainwash you. And I had a water bottle with the Victory Outreach logo. And she said, she's gonna do something to you with her Jesus juice. So we were like, no, this is water, you know. And I just said, you know, can we pray for you? And I know, you know, we went out to target women, but you know what? If you act like a girl, we're gonna treat you like a girl. And he was there, and I said, hey, you wanna act like a woman? We're out here for the women, then we're gonna pray for you. So we started to pray, and we started to pray for both of them. And he broke. He just broke. He got on his knees. And, you know, we saw a bit of manifestation. And, you know, he got up and he's like, what did you do to me? You know, and we're like, nothing. That's God. You know, that's God. And they went, you know, we gave him some goodies. We gave him some food and they went on their way. But, you know, I think that sometimes we're afraid of just like that man, just like when we prayed, He was afraid. He didn't want us to touch him because he knew that the power of God was going to begin to do something in his life. And he kept telling his friends, stay away from them, stay away from them. And she's like, no, they're okay, they're cool. But he allowed us to pray for him. And the moment God began to do something in his life, amen. But that can only happen if you have the fire and the power that God has given you, amen. And what I'm going to, I never started my timer. Sorry. There we go. I've only been talking 4 seconds. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Let me start over. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, ladies. I know you're hungry. So a fire, all a fire needs is 3 elements. And these 3 elements, if you take one away, it can't survive. And that's the same thing with Christianity. We need 3 major elements to survive in our Christianity. We need 3 major elements so that our fire can remain burned. Our fire can continue to burn. And with fire, a forest fire, a house fire, any kind of fire, these 3 elements are, and I'm going to give those to you. The first one is oxygen. Oxygen gives the fire life. So without any oxygen, there cannot be any fire. It needs the oxygen to remain, to be a combustion. And without that, you take that away. If you cover, you have a fire, a kitchen fire, they say, don't throw water on it. They say, throw a dish rag or something over it. Well, what you're doing is you're taking out that oxygen. You're suffocating it. And when you suffocate it, it dies. You know, if you put water, you might be adding, you know, it doesn't take that oxygen. That oxygen is still there. So it also needs heat. And heat ignites it. Heat ignites the fire. So if you have, there's a lot of oxygen in here. But without heat, you can't start. You can't, without the two, you can't, there, nothing will happen. You can have heat and oxygen and nothing happens at all. But then if you add fuel, if you have any kind of fuel, fuel is going to help maintain the fire. It's going to help keep the flame burning. So when you combine the 3, you have a fire. But to maintain that fire, you need to have continual fuel. Amen. Now, as United Women in Ministry, how do we keep the fire burning within us? I know I've heard many, we hear many things. I'm on fire. I'm on fire for God. I'll do anything. I'll do anything for God. And then you're working for God, doing everything God had asked you to do. And then one day you wake up and you're burnt. You are burnt out. You got burned. And your fire begins to extinguish because you let it burn. You let it burn out. Because the three elements of a Christian maintaining their fire are these 3 things. The first thing is God's word. And God's word is our oxygen. God's word is the way we live. And in the world, we breathe oxygen. But we could stay. How many of you know that you can be alive without living? Amen. How many women did we see last night that are alive, but they're not living? Amen. And there's these elements are missing from their life. And the first one is God's word. Now, God's word, it gives you the very breath of life to feed that fuel as you begin to catch fire for God. Amen. Without this, without God's word, all you're doing is you breathe, but you really can't breathe. Like you can't breathe correctly. And you're in fear, you're in the danger zone where you better get by somebody who's going to breathe oxygen into you because you're already dying a slow death. So if you're not opening your word, if you're not reading, you're not reading devotions, if you're not listening to the word, you're already dying a slow death. So when you wake up in a week or a month or a year and you just wake up and say, you know what? I'm burned out. I'm burned out. I don't want this anymore. You know what, God? You're called. You said I'm called, but how come I feel like this? You know what? It's not God. It's that you're not breathing the way God intended you to breathe with the oxygen that he provides. Amen. Number two is prayer. Prayer is our heat and our fire. Without prayer, there is no relationship with God. You cannot ignite that fire to keep the relationship burning with God. These things, it fills you with the Holy Spirit. It fills you with God's presence. It allows you to have an intimate relationship with Christ. Without prayer, just like without oxygen, you're dying a slow death. The third one is you never want to forsake the fellowship. And I think that sometimes we take this too lightly because we feel like I'm a woman of God. I've been saved. And like sister, you know, in the skit, she's like, I paid my tithes. I was a prayer warrior. I did everything that I was supposed to do. Why am I here? Well, you know, she was saying she didn't die to her flesh. Well, through she didn't die to her flesh, but I believe too that she might have forsook the fellowship. She might have forgot that she had sisters around her. She might have forgot that the reason why these tables look pretty, the reason why, you know, I got dressed this morning and these women got dressed, the reason why we were outside last night, the reason why these women have been cooking all night, and we drove over 150 miles and spent money to get a hotel. This is not just to come on a mini vacation. We're not here to see Albuquerque. We're not. This is for you. You might have, well, last night when we went out, you felt like I'm here to serve these women that are less unfortunate than I. I'm here to serve them because they don't know my God. I'm here to do something in this city. Yes, we were. We were, and man, you guys rocked it last night. We had an amazing time, amen? But you know what? You're sitting here this morning for you. You're sitting here this morning so that you can live, so that you can breathe, so that you can have oxygen, and so that you can have a purpose and a plan for your life and for this ministry, amen? Now, it's in atmospheres like this. The UM discipleships, the trips that we take, we go to California and we're going to San Antonio. Yes. And I love new cities. I love to see new cities. I love to, you know, I'll have a tortilla or two or five. I don't know. When I go, you know, I love to embrace that. You know, we have a great ministry where we don't have to stay in our city. We're worldwide. We're international. And I'm willing to do this, and I'm willing to sacrifice. And you know what? I see women who are willing to do the same. In this room, you were willing to come and drive and do this because you love what God is doing in your heart. But you don't want to just say, okay, God, thank you for that weekend, but God, maintain me. God, fill me with fire. Give me some of your fire. That's what you're asking for right now because you're here. You're not forsaking the fellowship. So ladies, be careful when you these trips are important, these discipleships are important, and your sisters are important. And I know a lot of us have trust issues. Like me, growing up in the world, all my friends were guys because I didn't like to play the women games. Like, God, you know, I didn't like that. I was like, they're sissies. Like, I don't. And guys were so simple. Like, they didn't care what kind of shoes you wore. They didn't care. They just, if you were cool, you were cool, right? And so coming into Christianity, and I didn't have any sisters, and that might have been part of it. You know, I didn't have sisters. I grew up with brothers. So I didn't know how to be a sister, first of all, because I was like a boy, I guess, you know. But I didn't know how to be a sister. And I had to learn, like, you know, sisters would hug me and I'd be like, amen, yeah. I was like, you know. So when I first came to Christ, I was like, okay, God bless you. Like, hallelujah, high five, you know. And so I had to learn that. I had to learn that, you know what, my sisters love me. My sisters love me. And you know what, even if they don't know me all the way through, and even though I met you just today, you know what? At some point, that hug, you might be praying for me. God might prompt you to pray for me. And you know what you're going to see? You might not know my name, but you're going to know my face. Because God's going to say, that sister you hugged, did you feel that when you hugged her? Did you feel that? Because she needs your prayer. She needs your love. Amen? Don't forsake the fellowship. Get around your sisters. Love your sisters. Go to lunch with your sisters. Get close to your pastor's wife. You know, you have problems in your marriage. You have problems with your kids. I don't have all the answers. I could tell you what I've experienced. And then you know what? If I don't know the answer, I can tell you, you know what? I haven't been there, but I know someone who has. A phone call away. Let me ask my pastor's wife. Let me ask our regional. Let me ask the sisters in the other cities. What did they ever go through this? And what happened? And how did God bring them out? I want to hear their testimony. Amen. So we're there to help you. No, we don't know everything. No, we're not perfect. But, you know, we will do the best that we can. Amen. So never forsake the fellowship. There's a saying that people say, and they say, show me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. Amen. So I know today, I know last night and today and probably all this week, you've been really close with your sisters getting ready to come over here, hitting the streets. And that's this week. But who did you hang out with last week? Who are you making plans with this afternoon? Where are you going to be on Tuesday? Just like he said, Sunday, where were you Sunday? She says, I was at church. Well, where were you on Monday? Oh, I was at the bar. By Monday, you're at the bar, you know. And I'm not saying that that's us, but example, you know, who are you going to be with next week? Amen. A lot of people say, well, just because I'm saved, I don't need to not love the people. You can't just throw the people away because I'm not like them anymore. No, you don't. But in order to reach them, you need to get right. You need to get right so that you can go, because you ain't saving them. Like the women say, oh, there's this guy and he needs Jesus, and I'm gonna disciple him, and I'm gonna teach him, I'm gonna show him what God is, and this and that. Girl, you don't even have God. How are you gonna? You love God. You love God, but if you don't know that you shouldn't be discipling a man, or a man shouldn't be discipling you, then that's number one right there. Like, you're already hanging out with the wrong people. Like, you no man has no business discipling a single woman at all. What is a man going to tell you about your children? Well, what is a single man with a desire for flesh going to tell you about your children? Nothing. What he's going to tell you is, your kids are cute. Oh, but you're cute too. That's what he's going to say. And then he's going to say, go play outside, kids. That's what he's going to do. So you make sure you watch who you get advice from. And make sure that you watch who you hang out with. Amen? And then, just to say that too, and I know I'm talking about don't forsake the fellowship, but you just got to be careful. Because we have great fellowship in our churches, but you got to be careful who you go to. Because I know in my life, when I want discipleship, I'm going to go to somebody that I want to be like. I'm going to go to somebody that I know they're not perfect. They have problems, but I like the way they handle their problems. I like the way that you and your husband just had a disagreement, but the way that you handled it. I like that. I like that your husband didn't put you down or you didn't put your husband down. I like that your husband has authority in your household without making you, without you being belittled. And that's what you want to go to. You want to get advice from people that you want to be like. But sometimes we don't want to do that because we want to go to the people that are going to agree with us. We want to go to the people that are going to say, oh, it's all right. Everybody does that. Everybody does this. It's okay to be in sin. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. Because it tickles your ear. It tickles your ear and you're like, oh, good. I'm still saved. I thought, you know, I know my pastor's wife is just legalistic. They're legalistic, you know. No, we're not. And we don't want to run your life. I have three teenagers. I don't want to run nobody else's life. I can't even run their life. Can't even, like, what? We're not trying to run your life, but we're trying to tell you things that we've seen and things that we have been through. Amen. And that's for your security. That's because we love you. Because you think that we spend time with you and around you and call you and love you and get close to your kids just because? You think that investment is just for looks? It's not. It's because we love you and we want to see God do the things that He has called you to do. We want to see Him fulfill His purpose and His plan for your life. Amen. Don't forsake the fellowship. Be in good fellowship. And this is this right here, never forsaking your fellowship is your fuel to your fire. It's going to fuel you when you don't want to get up. It's going to fuel you on a Sunday morning when you say, I'm so tired. I don't want to go to church. God understands. Yes, God understands. But God also knows that you need His word. And if you don't come to church, we're going to call you. So that, for not forsaking the fellowship, is a, hey, you okay? And a lot of times, sometimes people are not okay. Like sometimes they don't go to church, not by choice, but because they're in the hospital. So that's why we're checking. Where's my sister? My sister's not here. Like I need to call her. Like, she's sick. Something's wrong. And we call you. And then if you pick up and say, I'm sick, you know, pray for me. Amen. But if you don't pick up and then we call you again and you don't pick up again and you don't pick up, then we really know something's wrong. Something that you're not letting us help you with. So be open. Be open to your sisters. Be open to your pastor's wife. Amen. That was not in my message, but I think that might have been for someone because that's God. Amen. Amen. All of these things are going to strengthen you and they're going to keep you. So just like a fire needs oxygen, which gives it life, it needs heat to ignite it and it needs fuel to maintain it. You also need prayer to heat your fire. You need God's word so that He would breathe life into you. And then I want to ask the piano player to come up, please. And thirdly, never forsake the fellowship. This is the fuel to your fire. Amen. And if we want to be women who are on fire for Christ, and if we want to be women who want to complete the calling and do God's will, these simple things, they're simple. They're simple. We're not asking for an assignment. We're not asking for a book report. Nobody even wants to know what you've read, because when you open your word, and God shows you what you need to read, that's your healing. That's after you read that word, you're going to just breathe and be like, you know what, God, I have life. I can breathe. I can go on again today. So here's my Bible. And then you're in prayer. God, what you just showed me, what I just read, impart it in my life. Help me. Help me walk in your way. Help me be the person that you have called me to be. Give me an all-consuming fire so that I can do what you need me to, what my children need me to do. Give me the strength and the wisdom to move forward and to do everything that you want me to do. And then you read your word, you're in prayer, and then you walk out the door and your sister's picking you up. So then now you have a little sidekick and there you go. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's go get our hair cut. One of the ladies, a couple of them went to get haircuts together. Man, I'm blessed by that. I'm blessed when I see the sisters going out, you know? And that, you know, that blesses my heart because I know that the women of God are together and the women, and they're not just all over the city in different directions. Amen. Now, if you would stand with me. And I'm just going to pray with us this morning. And we've been hearing a lot about passion. We've been hearing a lot about cause. We hit the streets yesterday and last night. And I know Albuquerque's been on the streets for throughout the year to win their city. But what happens when those souls come in? What happens when those girls come walking in and they say, don't pray for me. You're weird. Don't do that. You know what? If you don't have these elements, you're going to be offended. And you're going to be like, well, go ahead then. I got Jesus. Go ahead. You know, but no. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with God's word, you're filled with prayer and worship, and you have the fellowship to back you up. You have an army of women to back you up. You are not afraid to put your hands on someone and begin to pray for them and lay them to the Lord so that they can have the same Jesus that you are privileged to have. We're privileged. We are privileged to have God's presence and God's spirit upon our lives. Amen. And sometimes, and I even think, I'm like, God, don't ever let me take you for granted, because I can go days with being human and being of flesh and getting things done. You know, we're multitasking women. You know, Katrina's been running around here like a little wind tunnel. You know, she's multitasking, you know. How does she survive? Prayer. Reading your word. That's how she survives. Or else when I called her this morning, I said, can you please print my thing out? Because I didn't want to bring the whole tablet up here. And she's like, sure. But you know what? She could have said, man, I'm so busy. Like, really? Really? I'm running this whole thing and she wants me to, you know? That could have been her attitude. But no, she said, sure, I'll print out for you. Because she's in prayer. She's in her word. But you know, and she's an armor bearer. She's an armor bearer. She's fulfilling what God has called her to do with her pastor's wife, within her church. Amen. That call is not just for me as a pastor's wife. And it's not just for these women. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And man, I see my church. I love you guys. I love my church. I love the women of my church, you know. And I'm just blessed. I'm blessed by them. And I'm blessed with what God is doing. Amen. We went out last night and one of the women's just had surgery. And her son threw a cane. And she goes, just in case, Mom. And she, thank God she didn't need it. But one of the other women's had needed it. And, you know, I'm blessed because we're there and it's like 12. And she's out there with a cane. She didn't care. She's like, here's a bag, you know. And it blesses my heart, you know. But in ministry, if you're not careful and you don't fuel and you don't take a breath and you leave the fellowship, it's too easy to leave, period. And I'm not talking about leaving the church. I'm talking about leaving God. Because your body, your physical body can be here right now. And maybe you're going through that right now. You're standing right here, holding your hands, ready to worship. But you know what? You're here in physical, but you're not here in heart. Because one of these elements is missing. Which one is missing? And you have to maintain all three. All three of these elements you must maintain. Because you're in danger. You're in danger of one day you may just stop breathing. I'm talking Christianity, not real life. But one day without your word, you're going to stop breathing the breath of God. Because you don't know. You're not knowledgeable. And praying, You know, you might know your word. How many people go out there and they're sinner of sins out there doing whatever, but they could quote some scripture. They more, know more scripture than you know. And we're saved, but they know more scripture. But you know what? They're missing an element. They're missing an element. Don't let that be you. Because I was telling some of the ladies, I said, we are all one step away. We, just because we're here and we look good today, we can walk out. We are one step away from that street. And I don't care where you came from, and I don't care who you are or what your background is. We have a young man in our church, greatest background, great family, comes from money, great. But he's been on the streets many times, and his family knows God. But you know what? Something was missing from his life. I don't know if it was the word. I don't know if it was prayer. But most of all, I know he didn't fellowship with the people of God. And you know where he ended on the street. So we are, what you saw last night, you're one step away. Don't ever forget that. Ever forget that. That tomorrow is not promised to us. Tomorrow is not promised. You may not be a drug addict or on the streets or shooting heroin, but you know what? Those pills your doctor gave you last week because your back was hurting, that can become an addiction. That man you talked to in the supermarket and gave him your number because you need some work done, that can become an addiction. That can pull you from God. So you might be praying, you might be, you know, you might be reading your word, but you're forsaking the fellowship. So if you would close your eyes with me today, and I want you to evaluate your heart. Put your hand over your heart this morning. And I want you to evaluate yourself as a Christian woman and ask these things. Who do I hang out with? Who surrounds me? Who surrounds my family? Who do I allow in my house? What do I allow them to do? What am I doing that nobody knows about? Ask yourself that. And then ask yourself, did you read your word this morning? Did you come to the altar and pray this morning? Or did you, and I know we're very busy in these last couple days and we're tired. Did you ask God this morning to clear anything out of your heart that would make you bitter for these words this morning? I want you to ask yourself that. And I'm going to pray. And I want you to lift your other hands. And I want you to repeat after me. God, I desire more of you, God. I pray, God, that I would be a woman of discipline. That I would be a woman that survives on your word. That I would pray and that I would surround myself with godly people. I'm going to pray for everyone. And as the musicians play, if you need to come to the altar this morning, if you need to clear out some things, and you need to ask God to give you more strength, to give you more energy, if you need those things in your life so that you can get to His Word and that you can begin to be a prayer warrior and that you can be able to lift things up, I want you to come to the altar this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we praise you, God. God, I pray, God, that your women...